At the United Nations today, a straw vote will be held to identify key contenders in the race to succeed Kofi Annan. The real vote for the new Secretary General will take place in December. Today's straw poll is intended to weed out the weak candidates and encourage the stronger ones. For more, we go now to Mark Turner, the United Nations correspondent for the Financial Times. He joins us from his office at the United Nations. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, hello.
So who are the front runners?
Well, the front runner is pretty clear. I don't even know if there are front runners at this stage. There's one man who appears to be in a pretty commanding lead, Ban Ki-moon, the foreign minister of South Korea. Last straw poll, he got 14 encouragements from the 15 members of the Security Council and one against.
That's what they're called, encouragements?
Well, they...
That is so genteel.
Like, diplomatically here, you don't vote a yes or a no. You encourage or discourage. It's seen as a little bit more polite, I guess. But it also allows you to change your opinion and also to encourage more than one candidate.
What can you tell us about Minister Ban?
Well, it's a little bit difficult to really get the measure of the man. He's very quiet. He's studiously avoided any kind of controversy over the past few months. I think this has been his strategy, in fact, just sort of saying all sorts of good, vague things about the need for UN reform and meeting new challenges and so forth, but not really going into any details as to how he would do it. I think more to the point, he just seems at this moment like a guy that both, you know, the Chinese and the U.S. and other great powers can live with, and that is ultimately what you need to be a Secretary General.
If you have questions about the new U.N. Secretary General, please do call us. Our number is 800-989-8255. If you have questions about what your expectations are for the new U.N. Secretary General, please do call us. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255 or talk at npr.org. Mark, which countries are supporting Minister Ban?
To be honest, we don't know, because despite claims that this has been a more transparent process, and it's certainly been a more public process in some ways than in the past, all the encouragements or discouragements are cast behind closed doors, and no one's admitting who they're supporting. Though with Mr. Ban, given that he's got 14 out of 15, the real question has been who was against him, not who was for him. And the speculation is, I mean, the key point is, did one of the permanent members of the Security Council who have a veto vote against him last time, and would they be likely to vote against him again? If not, he's almost a shoo-in. If it was a permanent member of the Security Council, he might face a challenge in getting their vote. But we'll see. Today, the vote will not differentiate between permanent and the rest of the members of the Security Council. But on Monday, they're going to start to differentiate, and that will make things much clearer. Although, to be honest, by the end of today, we may have a sense whether Ban Ki-moon's lead is unassailable or not.
What are people looking for? What are the members looking for in a Secretary General? I would assume there are very different views about what one wants in that position, depending on, you know, what country you're in, where you're aligned, and things of that sort. So what are the factors that are leading countries to support him? And as you said, I understand, I take your point that he seemed to have very broad support, but what are his critics saying about him, or what are the factors that are arguing against his selection?
I mean, to be honest, you know, you can discuss in theory what it is that people want in a new Secretary General in terms of strong management skills or an ability to broker conflicts, but I think it comes down to more, is this someone that's going to cause a problem for any of the great powers? It's sort of almost in a more negative term, because there is a slight sense, I think, among some of the powerful nations that they don't want a campaigner who's going to cause difficulties for them. They want someone who's a little bit quieter, who's going to help where he's asked, to, you know, maybe do some backroom diplomacy and resolve conflicts, and also get the UN's own house in order. Certainly, the US and some of the Europeans have been very strong on the fact that they want the next Secretary General to be more of a manager. As one commentator put it, they want a decaffeinated Kofi.
Mm. I'm going to have to ask you what that means, but let's take a caller. Let's go to Berkeley and Kate. Hello, Kate. Kate, are you there? What's your question? Okay. Well, sorry, Kate, we're not there. Okay, a decaffeinated Kofi. Please interpret for me.
Well,
be my translator.
I think it sounds good, Monte. But Kofi Annan was a Secretary General who took fairly outspoken public positions on a number of things. And, you know, and I'm not sure that the U.S. or the Russia or China want that again. We'll have to see, but I think the impression is that they're looking for a bit of a quieter, more workmanlike Secretary General who looks internally to begin with to try and sort out, you know, the myriad management problems that the UN has faced, and maybe not such a sort of a public figure taking strong stances. But on the other hand, there's been a history of the great powers choosing Secretary Generals to be like that. In fact, Kofi Annan himself was chosen on the basis of being a quiet public servant who turned out to be a little bit more outspoken than some had imagined. And so was one of the UN's most powerful Secretary Generals, Dag Hammarskjöld, back in the 60s. He was also similarly chosen as a rather quiet guy who wasn't seen as a threat to any of the superpowers, who then emerged as an extraordinarily outspoken advocate of what the Secretary General's role should be.
Is there lobbying for this position?
Yes, there certainly is lobbying. There's a lot of high-profile public visits and op-eds in newspapers and public appearances that goes on above the radar screen, as it were. But there's also probably, though we know a lot less about it, a lot of backroom dealing, talking between candidates and potential supporters as to who might get what jobs in their cabinet, in as much as there is a cabinet in the UN.
Now, I assure you I'm not putting my hand up, but I do wonder, are any women being considered for the position?
The only woman who has put forward her name so far is the Latvian president, Vaira Vika Freiburga. She suffers from the unfortunate fact that she comes from Latvia, which is a country that Russia would certainly not like to see represented as the Secretary General, as it were. And also there's this...
Why not?
Why not? Just because I guess Latvia is seen as a country which hasn't got the greatest relations with Russians. It represents, I guess, a certain diminution of Russian pride, the fact that Latvia became independent after the Cold War. But I think also more generally there is a sense that it is Asia's turn, even though Eastern Europe claims it's never had a Secretary General. The deal was last time when they had an African for, as it were, a third term of an African, that next time it would be Asia.
And speaking of pride, why do countries pursue this position? Is it partly a matter of national pride, of achieving prominence for on the world stage, or are there the personal ambitions of the diplomats, or you know, why does one put oneself forward for this? Is it an individual decision, or is it a decision that's made by the country, or how does that work?
It's a mix of both. If you take, for example, Shashi Tharoor, the Indian candidate, one gets the impression it's very much been a personal ambition of his to become Secretary General for many years. And in fact, a lot of people were very surprised when he got India's endorsement, not least most of the Indian Foreign Ministry. So yes, there's certainly a certain amount of individual pride. But obviously Korea seems to think it's, you know, it would be a mark of respect for its, you know, nationhood and so forth. The irony is, of course, that since most Secretary Generals come from, you know, fairly middle-ranking or, you know, non-threatening nations, it's not so much a mark of a nation's greatness as a mark of a nation's lack of greatness, generally, that has led its nationals to become a Secretary General.
Mark Turner, the United Nations correspondent for the Financial Times. He joined us from his office at the United Nations. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin in Washington.